Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, you'll have an opportunity for a question-and-answer session. To ask questions at that time, please press star, then one, and record your name when prompted. Also, this call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host of today's call, Mr. Andrew Schmidt. Sir, you may begin.
Oh, thank you very much, Matthew, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody who is on the line. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. Worldwide call, so wherever you are, I hope that covers your time zone. I'd like to welcome you all to the second time that we've done our SUSE Linux distribution update call for the year 2011. We have Marcus Kraft, who's a product manager, SLES for System Z on the line. We'll be taking you through some interesting slides today. At the end, as Matthew had said, there will be opportunities for Q&A. We also have Micah Chabowski and Kay Tate, also of SUSE, who will be assisting Marcus on Q&A, perhaps, depending on the types of questions. And we certainly appreciate those three folks' attendances on our call today. Now, the slides have been posted a couple of days ago on the SUSE website. I did send out a reminder notice to everybody with that URL yesterday, and I also sent out the slides this morning to everybody who was registered. So hopefully you have a copy of the slides. If you do not have a copy of the slides because you signed in later, you misplaced the email or what have you, as usual, if you'd like to send me an email, Andrew_Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, that says David Thomas at the end at us.ibm.com, I will be happy to send them out to you right now. As Matthew had said, this call will be recorded, and when the folks at SUSE put the MP3 file on their website, I'll send out a note that indicates it's available. That way you can rerun the audio portion and look at the slides and perhaps send that off to any colleagues at your location as well. So I think that takes care of all of the logistics. I'll turn it over to Marcus and go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Andrew, for the introduction. I'm Marcus Kraft, Product Manager for SUSE Enterprise Server for System Z. And I'd like you to take you through some hopefully interesting information about the upcoming release of SUSE Enterprise Server SV2. We're heading towards slide 2, which gives a little overview on the agenda. We come in three parts. We will have an update on SUSE. We'll have an update on SUSE and the roadmap and tools, and we will even have more tools. Let's go to slide 4. SUSE, as you probably know, has been part of Novell for some years. Last year, Attachment acquired SUSE and Novell, and now reestablishing SUSE as its own brand and business unit again. We are part of the Attachment Group, which is now formed by Attachment itself, SUSE, Novell, and NetApp. Attachment is a privately held company, which gives us also the opportunity within that construct to join synergies and develop our own branding and portfolio, now with more focus. Slide 5. Just some information about SUSE as it is shown up today. We have a broad set of customers worldwide, and we have representation in all the different geos over the world. Currently, we are about 700 employees. We have, of course, joint services in operation, but the main part are our development, product management, and marketing people, sales people in various countries around the world. Next year, we will have our 20th anniversary with SUSE founded in 1992. And we have a vibrant partner system where we work closely together with large partners, but also with small business partners worldwide. And I'd like to mention, we constantly have in the past and also this year been valued for our support by our customers. slide 6. Let's have a look into the portfolio we are presenting to the market. I've highlighted three areas where you can see SuperLink's Enterprise Server, which is our flagship product, especially for System Z. I'd like to mention that with the product, additional value is incorporated in by including the high availability extension. We'll have some words on that later. Additionally, and very good in the sense of to help to consolidate workloads is the Mono extension, which allows to consolidate .NET applications onto SuperLink Enterprise Server as well as on x86 as well as on System Z. For those who need service for a longer time, when services service packs, we offer long-term service pack support, which will cover the needs for staying longer on one code base or to have a little bit more time on transition between different levels. Additionally, on the right side, I want to introduce you about some tools which might make your life easier if you have to manage multiple of servers, managing them and also deploy and develop servers for testing in your applications. Let's go to slide 7, and if you bring up that slide, you will see that we have continuously worked a few years to increase our ecosystem of applications and partner applications. This has been really hard work, but without the participation of you, it would have never been realized. So up to now, we have 8,500 applications being certified and supported on SuperLink's Enterprise Server. And this number gets even more impressive as we have counted a product which appears on the same version on multiple platforms. So we really have a broad ecosystem of applications here to let customers implement the solution they need. If you want to check what's available or you want to get on the customer, see the link, the URL on the bottom of the page, and check this out. If you want to get on the catalog, please contact our ISV partners. I have the emails attached in the appendix, and we'll come to that when we get to the end. So next slide is slide 8, where we show our timeline. About the time we have spent already developing Linux from the early beginnings in 2000 up to now. We are on the sixth generation of the operating system, and we see continuous growth worldwide with customers in Europe, in Africa, and in Asia Pacific. Meanwhile, there are deployments ranging from very small, very efficient deployments which have a System Z with running one or two ISLs, installations which have more than 250 ISLs and more. Okay, so let's get down to the life cycle, which is probably of most interest of you, which are following the release cycles. So slide 9 shows you the standard platform life cycles, and we have more details on the next slide. We have extended the release cycles over the years to first also have a longer life cycle of the product, but also to match life cycles of operating systems which have been introduced in the marketplace since a longer time. We have adjusted our policy regarding the support and the service packs. In the past, we had a service packs just following each other with no overlap in support of the code base. We have adjusted that due to a strong demand on the marketplace where people were going into more critical productions and changes and updates and testing took more time. So we now have an overlap of 6 months where we have the unmarked service pick being supported, and then overlap by the succeeding service pick. If people need more time to transition, we offer long-term service pick support, which can also be extended in a way you need. Let's go to slide number 10. It shows in more detail the current versions which are out there. The most current version on Linux Enterprise Server 10 is Service Pack SP4, which has been released in the middle of this year. Regarding Linux Enterprise 11 SP2, we are heading for release in the first quarter of 2012. Currently, we are at the end of the beta phase. We are now entering the RC phase within the next 2 weeks, and we are heading for release date by the end of the quarter. If you want to have and look up more details when major versions go through the different cycles, there is a link, also a URL on the page down where you can look up life cycles by product. Okay, so let's go have slide 11. From a very high-level view, if we describe the capabilities of SUSE Enterprise Service for System Z, Service Pack 1, we fully can exploit the dynamic features of System Z. We can run either an ALPA or ZVM, and we can also leverage the hot plug capabilities of CPU memory and the IO channels to be attached to the guests running either ALPA or ZVM. So that allows for getting the right resources to the right place, or to share the resources, which is of big benefit for the consolidation story, consolidating workloads on System Z. Having a large box running multi-mission critical workloads, the writability, availability, and serviceability features and functions are critical. With System Z, we support those functions, but we also inherit them from the platform. We have additional features to support questions or if there are issues like the dump generation. We also have included kernel-specific messages for the part in the Linux kernel, which is System Z specific. Another thing we include, and I mentioned earlier, is the high availability extension, which also we'll have a word on a little bit later. So if you look into the future, slide 12, the real point we want to make here is the exploitation of the platform. So System Z 196 and 114 plus the ZBX extension compose this IBM Z Enterprise system, and we, with Service Pack 2, we can fully exploit this hybrid infrastructure. You will see performance improvement if you use the new compiler, which comes with the SDK to exploit the new instruction set of System Z, of the Z 196 or the Z1940. Also, we have support for new chip IDs which connect the blade ensemble with the host. So now this allows, if you go into the benefits of this hybrid computing model, this now allows you to place either the workload on the right hardware or to consolidate workloads which are only present on for the x86 platform, for Linux, or for even Windows support, which is has been announced quite recently. The major part of the features then included are incremental improvements in the tools or the environment, or to exploit other areas of System Z. Let's go to the next slide and have a short view on the structure of System Z, which you might probably already know. You have the big red, the big black boxes, which symbolize the hardware encryption for either System Z or the ZDX. You see the different partitions on System Z, but you also, on the other side, the partitions of the various systems residing on the ZDX. So we can, that can be run Linux and Windows on x86 or AX on Power or different optimizers. All are connected via a data-oriented network and the management network, and these were the chipsets I was talking about. If the installations grow, you need to take care to manage them properly. Part of this you can will be doing will probably be able to do with the Z-Manager or the Unified Resource Manager of the enterprise, but also regarding updating and patching multiple images, you might look out for tools to do that more efficiently. So with slide 14, I want to mention SUSE Manager, which allows to manage the software lifecycle of multiple servers. You can define groups of servers to apply patches and also to do the monitoring if you don't are using other tools. Another way to create or to install guests on these type of systems is not only that you provision them by installing them with automated profiles, for example, or by cloning, but going to slide 15, we have a tool called SUSE Studio, which allows you to specify and configure operating system images in a way that they can be stored on disk and then IPLs. We will have a little bit on that later in the slide deck. So now let's turn to slide 16 or 17. I will highlight some of the features in a more, let's say, technically and more descriptive way. If you look at slide 17, you will then see coming up next also multiple slides having the same structure. The reason why I built these slides were to have information at one place where there is a descriptive header to identify a feature, and it includes links to the respective developer work pages, and if available, also links to the documentation we ship with the product and is also available from the IBM website. If you will find technical and business benefit, plus a little matrix that shows if this feature is also available on slash 10 or at which level it can be incorporated into slash 11. In this case, you'll see that shown at MSP2 for slash 11. So the enhanced node affinity support makes the Linux scheduler aware of the CPU topology and more of the hash topology of system 196 to actually allow for more sophisticated decisions to keep workload on one processor and exploit the hardware in a better way, which will drive up performance. The next slide, slide 18, shows a feature that we support the OSX and OSM chip IDs, which are the connecting data and management networks between the ZBox and the ZBX extension. Slide 19, this is something you might consider if you are planning to develop own tools or provide applications. The new GCC we ship on the SDK, it's version GCC 4.6.1, allows Z10 making better use of the prefetching capabilities, which also gives a little performance boost for those applications. And thus makes applications run more efficiently even on Z10 hardware. The last feature I've listed here in that sequence on slide 3 is that the same GCC also allows for exploitation of the new instruction set of U.S.96. So there are presentations available how these instructions actually can boost performance for tools or applications which are compiled with them. So providing a compiler allows you to do touch with your applications and get the benefits from there. One question which I get frequently, what's about the base operating system? For consistency reasons, we do not use the new compiler on that service pack. However, so you can use it for the applications. Okay, so now we're heading to slide 21 and 22. What I would like to mention here is also tools which are present at different areas which might be helpful for your development work or to offload maybe the machine to speed up the applications, to debug problems. It's a list of things, I think, which might be helpful. Looking at page 22, this is showing the ZPDT, the IBM System Z development tool. It's a software-based appliance, which is it comes jointly with a USB stick. This allows for running operating systems which are available for System Z, like Linux, VS, and VBN. It can be used to develop applications, to offload the machine, the physical machine, to build up testing environments, or to demo your applications. If you look up the website, you will find that OpenSUSE 10.3 and up to OpenSUSE 11.1 are supported, flagged out to be supported. However, I can confirm using it myself that /11SP1 for x86-64 runs flawlessly on the hardware I've tested, and this has been multiple hardware from that area. I also want to mention that we have evaluation versions for both the 64-bit distributed platform and for System V available at the download location from SUSE, which is pointed out in the URL. Very useful tool and very nice to have. And you should have a look at it and figure out if it's of use for you. So now going down to the tools section, these are tools, and this is slide 23. These are tools which are located on the SDK, which is an extra media available when the product is shipped and also now in the beta phase available for those who do beta testing. The one I choose here to highlight a bit because of the features and possibilities is given is WarGrind. So WarGrind is a tool which is structured to serve many purposes, and we will go into that in the following slides. WarGrind is an open source project and continues to develop. You find the URL at the end of the page. So going to slide 24. One part of WarGrind, which was one of the first parts, it allows you to run an application under the control of WarGrind and to identify invalid memory accesses, like non-allocated memory, so using a variable which you don't have allocated memory for, or you are using a variable which has just been freed up at some place elsewhere in the program, array accesses beyond the end of the array, and also access to invalid stack areas. So sometimes these issues, especially small memory leaks, are really hard to find, and this tool is really helpful to locate them. Next slide slide 25. Another tool which comes with WarGlide is HellGlide and DRD. Now, with the paradigm change to multiple cores being available in the system and to scale out using SN symmetric multiprocessing, the use of threads is something where you can explore the parallelism which the hardware can give you. However, parallel programming is something which can be quite difficult and needs experiences. And even then, if you're very cautious, sometimes you might lose track how to synchronize the different parallel resources, features, and variables. So DRD and HellGlide allows you to check the synchronization constructs like mutexes and condition variables using threads. So it can be very helpful if you need to debug a threaded application. Slide 26. There's also a tool called CallGrind, which gives you statistics about the call graphs in your application. So whereas OProfile tells you, or the profiling can tell you how many times you spend each subroutine, it is also very interesting how often they are called, and that's exactly what CallGrind is doing. It shows you which functions are called in each sequence and how often they are called, and it can even go to do branch prediction. If you go to the next slide, slide 27, it shows a very small example program and a respective call graph. There is a graphical tool which really helps to analyze the data call graph generates, and it shows varied aspects of the call graph hierarchy down to the level of assembler code and subroutines. Slide 28. The last tool in that sequence I wanted to present is CacheGrind. This can be used to really accelerate and understand the behavior of applications using the caches of the processor efficiently. CacheGrind knows about two levels of cache. It looks at the first level cache and the last level cache. And can also be tuned to the specific architecture. So this is, if you do tiny loops or scan over arrays and searches, it can be very helpful to analyze which code actually gives you the best caches and thus speed up the application. Okay, at slide 39, there's a little drawback regarding the status the development of WarGround. Not all features are perfectly implemented. The final listing here on that page. So no decimal floating point can be used there, or in translations or Unicode instructions, for examples. Okay. Now switch over from tools which can help to identify problems in the program application area. A little excourse to the system monitoring tools. Most of you probably know the SysStats tools, where the MSTAT is the most prominent. IOSTAT gives more information about which IO is occurring on which device it's using. SADC can be used for recording that monitoring data for a longer time frame and do an analysis of that data. But most of the folks talk to don't know about PADSTAT, which is included since a long time. So PADSTAT with option minus D allows you to see which process actually generates the amount of I/O traffic. So in this example, which I took a screenshot from, I've taken an artificial workload by just dumping the contents of one device to their zero. And I just feel the different views the tools provide. So VM started showing me that I have a lot of skill and that I'm waiting on a significant amount of time. And when I look at I/O stats, it tells me there are lots of read requests going on. I've got a lot of megabytes of I/O to read. And my devices are, in case the SDA is utilized to the extent possible. And now I want to identify who is the bad guy hogging on that resource. And with PID step, I see that the DD command is actually doing that. So it's a very useful tool. You've got multiple workloads running, each doing I/O to identify what's going on there to track down the right processes in that area. Now switching to, on slide 23, switching to some features or frameworks we have supplied the SUSE Enterprise Server 11 with the distribution. So one is SUSE High Availability extension. It is composed of four major components. One is a framework which allows you to define resources, dependencies, and constraints on such resources, and allow for a defined status transition of the system. So this is a cluster manager framework and configuration-based framework, and it's driven by a resource agent. The second component is a cluster file system and a cluster volume manager, which allows you to write multiple nodes into one file system and to read from there. There are also load balancers included and device replication. However, if we look at scenarios most customers are using for high availability or disaster recovery, the approach people are taking are to have all the data stored on the storage systems and then do mirroring to the DR site on the storage system and start over from there. Nevertheless, the framework coming with the high availability extension can help you to secure services, to do transparent failover without manual intervention, which actually saves you the time for the more important tasks when actually errors happen and things go wrong. The second thing is AppArmor, which is a Linux security framework to do application confinement. The AppArmor implementation provided with SUSE Linux also has tools incorporated, which allows you to use a learning-based generator, which means you run your application, and it will trace all the activities of the application, and at the end will come up with proposals where you can actually make your application confined, which means which access to the activities you restrict, which executables, access to the executables you restrict, which files can be read or even written. So it's a very useful tool to actually prevent errors which are not known yet. So you can constrain the application to the desired behavior. Last thing to mention is the Mono extension, which allows to run .NET applications on systems. So going to slide 32. I have the idea to show you also the possibility that you, which are developing applications, can make them also high available ready. Most things start with the resource agent, which is capable to have specific status which are predefined, and we have those resource agents already included for a variety of applications and devices, like for rate adapters or for FTP servers. But there are also dummy resource agents which can probably use as a start to generate a resource agent which then can be used to make your application more high available. or to be included in such a high availability framework, which gives, I think, more an additional value to the customers. To learn more about that, you can look at the resource agents included into the distribution, or also get a deep dive on OpenCF, OpenClusterFramework.org website, where we use these things. AppArmor is interesting. As I mentioned, you do application confinement here. You know best your application, and you know where it's supposed to store its config files, store its data, and it would be easily possible to generate a template or an AppArmor profile so that people can use that as a start or as a default when putting up such a profile. If we go to slide 33, this is the profile for an FTP daemon. I picked that example because it actually fits to one page. If you've got more complex applications, it will be longer and the syntax will be more complex. But I found this a very good example to see that with very easy steps and constructs, it can actually be achieved that the application itself can be made and more secure. The syntax is very close to those you know from managing access rights on in the Linux file system. Going to slide 34, there's also documentation available which describe how you can actually do consolidation of .NET workloads. Okay, so we are getting to the last section, slide 35, slide 36. This is entering a space where SUSE provides additional infrastructure tools which might help you to manage your images, the system images, including the applications you write, to pre-configure them, and to generate images or finally appliances. If you usually go through an installation process, there's a lot of preparation or work to be done. You go through configuration part, and at the end, you sometimes have to do some and do a lot of manual work there. Slide 37. If you look at the different steps where software logs happen, you need to make sure that the software is at the right level and probably manage which users have which access rights accessing the applications or the data. Slide 38. So the idea is wouldn't it be great to have a tool which allows you to take the operating system at the level, or maybe also at the latest level with the latest patches, to inject configurations and to install the application into an image and have this done in a very structured and very reproducible way. So this is where we build SUSE Studio 4. So SUSE Studio is our tool to build appliances and help also ISVs to bring their appliances into the marketplace. Currently, we have started with the version for the distributed platform, but just lately we released enhancement that also SUSE Studio can be used for System Z. SUSE Studio comes with several components. One is the SUSE Studio on-site version, which would allow you to create and manage such images locally. It has a component WebGuest. The appliances are only accessible remotely. And one of the most important thing for maintaining such images when they go out and are used by customers is the SUSE Lifecycle Management Server. So the SUSE Lifecycle Management Server is a tool to actually take track of, for example, the parts of the images, the parts of the operating system which are changing, and there might also be components which are changed on the application side. And then usually the difficulty arises which patches to take. So the SUSE Linux Enterprise Lifecycle Management Server, you can jump to slide 41, allows you to get notified which patches are available on each level of your application stacks, from the operating system, middleware, and application, and combine the things you deem necessary for your appliance into a patch, which can then be placed by users or customers to that site. So it gives you a very formal and controlled way to do lifecycle management for appliances which are out there for production use. Slide 42 highlights this a little bit better. When you look at the graphics, the operating system packages, BSD application, it can be either in RPM format or use any other install method. SUSE Studio can help this. So building that image by bringing up the instance, so it can run scripts in there before the installation of the software, or afterwards, we can take the changes, do different things on first boot. This framework is really flexible to generate the appliances. Okay, so slide 43 shows a little screenshot for the web interface of SUSE Lifecycle Manager. We've got, for all these tools, we got web-based access so that can be managed remotely. Slide 44 is again mentioning SUSE Manager. The reason why I pick it up here again is that SUSE Studio comes with a set also for predefined choices. For example, if you build a tiny and small operating system, a basis where you can use as an operating system, so-called JOS. There are multiple choices, actually, what you can add to that image. One would be the application you will probably be using, but you might want to have some monitoring functions or functions which actually allow this appliance then to register itself without intervention in the management framework, in this case, SUSE Manager. So you will find there a little button, do you want to enable WebDAS to manage instance, and do you want to interact with SUSE Manager and be managed by SUSE Manager. So this is all folded in, and hopefully you can see the possibility that we, coming from the operating system, we can now actually generate images in a very structured way, either for production or for test or whatever the purpose might be, and then also be able to manage these images in a way that they are controlled and monitored, but also can be maintained in the software lifecycle. So heading to slide 45, the idea about the appliances is that you actually save a lot of time by creating such an appliance and putting in your expertise, which on the other hand the user would do, and make it a very efficient way actually to deploy optimized workloads to different areas. But in the 26 world, for this real world, we have a feature where it can generate such appliances and deploy them in the Amazon EC2 cloud, and we're looking into exploiting on a CPU side interfaces where we can do the same for System Z part or the ZBX extensions. So with that, looking again at the structure of the enterprise system at slide 48, it is a new paradigm of computing, and we also are following that by an offering we're doing, and that is slide 47, where we support the hybrid model with our offerings, which means customers can get SUSE Linux Enterprise Server for the ZBX extension if they have a valid subscription for System Z. That can be one ISL, that can be multiple ISLs. For all the Blade extensions where Linux can run for that systems, the basic subscription comes for free. Support is something we will add depending what the customer would like to do, if he requires support from a third party or from us. So again, the message, if you own a System Z subscription for one or more ISLs, the enablement for the Blade centers, the basic subscription, is included. So this gives, again, value to the platform and actually should be a way to have really hybrid solutions out there in the marketplace. Getting to slide 48, we now got the Pinguins on board, and if all goes well, there will be more and more and more, which is symbolized by slide 49. So taking you to a variety aspect of the update for Service Pack 2, I hope that the information was useful, and I'm now happy to take questions.
At this time, for any questions or comments, please press star, then 1. Once again, for any questions or comments, press star, then 1, and record your name. Thank you.
So are there any questions?
At this time, I show no questions coming into queue.
Okay.
Okay, Matthew, thank you very much. I'd like to thank Marcus again for the presentation, as well as Micah and Kay for standing by. If there are any questions, I know some people are bashful or they want to look at the slides in more detail or what have you, feel free to send me an email and I'll be happy to send it off to Marcus and his colleagues. I'd like to thank everybody here again for attending our call with SUSE this morning. The replay, as I mentioned earlier, will be available on their website. I will send out an update note when I see that has occurred. Look forward to seeing you all again on our next Linux distribution partner call in the future. And for those of us and you who are celebrating holidays over the next 6 weeks or so, we have a great holiday season coming up. I wish you the best. Have a great day.
Thank you for participating in today's call. You may disconnect at this time.